My beloved brethren, my theme for these remarks is Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. It might just as well be Magnify your calling in the priesthood. But to begin with, I bear witness to you that I know by the power of the Spirit that President Kimball is a prophet called by the Lord to be his mouthpiece, and that President Tanner was called by revelation to be his first counselor. I sustain them both with full purpose of heart. As to you, brethren, I feel as Peter expressed himself to the brethren of his day, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Of all men in the earth, we are the most honored. As spirits of God, we stood in that great council in the pre-existent world and heard the Father present the gospel plan. We heard him say that those who kept their first estate would be added upon, and those who kept their second estate would have glory, glory added upon their heads forever and ever. Now we know that we kept our first estate because we're here in with our spirits added upon with these bodies. And while we're here, however, if we are to have glory added upon our heads forever and ever, we must do two things at least. One of them is to receive the priesthood, and the other one is to magnify our calling in the priesthood. The Lord said that no one could receive this glory without the priesthood. Woe unto all those who come not unto this priesthood, he said. We then are one step along the way, having received the priesthood, to having glory added upon our heads forever and ever. And we are in the way to complete that preparation. And we will have it if, and that's a big if we magnify our calling in the priesthood. And now I want you to listen to the words the Lord used in giving us the covenant which belongeth to the priesthood. He says, Whoso is faithful unto the obtaining of these two priesthoods of which I have spoken, and the magnifying of their callings, not just those who receive it, but those who receive it and magnify their callings are sanctified by the Spirit to the renewing of their bodies. They become the sons of Moses and of Aaron. In the early part of the Revelation from which I'm quoting, the 84th section, the Lord talks about the men who hold the priesthood as being the sons of Moses, according to the priesthood, and those who hold the Aaronic priesthood as being sons of Aaron, according to the Aaronic priesthood. And that's what he means here. They become the sons of Moses. That is, they hold the Melchizedek priesthood and of Aaron and the seed of Abraham and the church and kingdom and the elect of God. We talk about making our callings and election sure. Well, the only way we can do it is to get the priesthood and then magnify that priesthood. And then the Lord gives the promise, and also all they who receive this priesthood receive me, saith the Lord. Think about that. Those who receive the priesthood and magnify it receive me, saith the Lord. For he that receiveth my servants receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth my Father. And he that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Therefore all that my Father hath shall be given unto him. And this glory added upon us forever and ever, and all the things that the Lord has is promised unto us. And this is according to the oath and covenant of which belongeth to the priesthood. Therefore, all those who receive the priesthood receive this oath and covenant, receive this promise from the Lord, which he cannot break. But we can, and a good many of us do. And this is the consequence. Whoso breaketh this covenant, that he'll honor it, magnify his calling. Whoso breaketh this covenant after he hath received it, and altogether turneth therefrom, shall not have forgiveness in this world, nor in the world to come. Now, I don't think he's talking here necessarily about the unpardonable sin, but I am saying that those of us who receive this priesthood and understand what it's about and fail to magnify our callings will lose what we cannot recover again hereafter. And now, I give unto you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves. This is the responsibility we have in order that we magnify our priesthood. Beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. For you who have received the priesthood, you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. This charge brought to my mind the Lord's statement concerning the camp of Israel near Council Bluffs, Iowa, on January the 14th, 1847, in the great revelation given to Brigham Young. Ye are not yet pure, he said. Ye cannot yet bear my glory, but ye shall behold it if ye are faithful in keeping all my words that have been given you from the days of Adam to Abraham, and from Abraham to Moses, from Moses to Jesus and his apostles, and from Jesus and his apostles to Joseph Smith. And we could now add to President Kimball. As I ponder the terms of the oath and covenant which belongeth to the priesthood, which each one of us has entered into, I am awed by the superlative promised blessings. At the same time, I am subdued as I consider the requirements upon which the receipt of those blessings is conditioned. It seems to me that there are many words of eternal life that have proceeded forth from the mouth of God to which we must give more diligent heed if we are to receive the promised blessings. Among them is the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In this our day, the Lord has put great emphasis on observance of the Sabbath day. When the saints first went to Independence, Missouri, he gave them a list of standards which must be observed by those who are to build up and live in that Zion. One of them upon which he put great emphasis was observance of the Sabbath day. And he said, and that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily this day is a day appointed unto you to rest from your labors, to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. Remember that on this day, the Lord's day, thou shalt offer thine oblations, thy sacraments unto the Most High, confessing thy sins unto thy brethren and before the Lord. And on this day thou shalt do none other things, only let thy food be prepared with singleness of heart, that thy fasting may be perfect. In other words, that thy joy may be full. Because we live in a Sabbath-breaking society, we must, if we would magnify our callings in the priesthood, live in the world, but not be of the world. For the Lord has said, the inhabitants of Zion shall observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We need not shop on the Sabbath day. There will be no shopping in the city of Zion on the Sabbath. We need not attend recreational events, nor hunt or fish on the Sabbath. If we are really intent on magnifying our callings in the priesthood, we will on the Sabbath day live within the framework of the instructions given to the Lord in that section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Now, other words of eternal life that have proceeded forth from the mouth of God, to which we must give more diligent heed if we would have glory added upon our heads forever and ever, are these: Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Remember, O man, for all thy doings thou shalt be brought into judgment. Wherefore, if ye have sought to do wickedly in the days of your probation, then ye are found unclean before the judgment seat of God, and no unclean thing can dwell with God. Wherefore ye must be cast off forever. Those are the words of Nephi. Behold, I say unto you, the kingdom of God is not filthy, and there cannot any unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God. 600 years later, the resurrected Jesus told his Nephite disciples that no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. At the very beginning of this last dispensation, Jesus said to the brethren in conference assembled, Go ye out from among the wicked, save yourselves, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Within the same year, he repeated, Go ye out from Babylon, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. These words call to mind Paul's declaration to the Corinthians. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. There are many filthy practices rife in our present society, which we must constantly be on guard against if we would live clean enough to magnify our callings in the priesthood. The Lord warned us of some of them in the word of wisdom. Inasmuch as man drinketh wine or strong drink among you, behold, said he, it is not good, neither meat in the sight of your father. Tobacco is not good for the body. And again, hot drinks are not for the body. The use of a habit-forming drug of any kind violates the word of wisdom, the spirit of the word of wisdom, and defiles both body and spirit. Priesthood bearers intent on magnifying their callings will shun as the plague the filth in our permissive society, wherever it is. In literature, on the stage or screen, in recreational centers, or elsewhere. God will not countenance an unclean priesthood. One of the most corrupting and debasing vices rampant in our society today is unchastity. Let us be ever mindful that from Sinai the Lord thundered, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The penalty for so doing under the Mosaic law was death. Notwithstanding the fact that in this generation's corrupt permissiveness, its violation is tolerated with impunity, under God's divine law, it is as it has always been, a soul-destroying sin. Its self-executing penalty is spiritual death. No unforgiven adulterer is magnifying his calling in the priesthood. And as President Clark used to say, the Lord has made no fine distinction between fornication and adultery, nor may I add between adultery and sex perversion. Jesus set the standard for us to seek unto when he said, "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And then to emphasize the enormity of this sin, he continued, "If thy right eye offend thee, or cause thee to offend," as the marginal reading, "pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Certainly, we priesthood bearers who would so magnify our callings in the priesthood as to obtain eternal life and have glory added upon our heads forever and ever will diligently strive to keep the Lord's commandment, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." May it be so, I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.